We've come to make merry for the princess who passed away yesterday. Think of that as making happiness. We're making ourselves happy by doing good things. And then we dedicate the happiness to her. May she know of what we've done and approve of the fact that we've done it. That should make her happy. That becomes her merit. We use the phrase, making merit. And it's appropriate, even though when we translate it as making happiness, it sounds artificial. Still, we're dealing with realities. When you're generous, you're happy. When you're virtuous, you're happy. When you extend thoughts of goodwill to all beings, it's a happy act. And it's a happiness you can make. You see there's a problem. Someone has died. There's a lot of unhappiness around death. But there are ways you can compensate for that. And actually turn this into a happy occasion. But even though there's death, there's still ways that we can help one another. You know, the idea of making happiness may sound artificial. It's actually a skill. That's what's appealing about Buddhism. It takes things that in other systems of thought are pretty random. It shows that they can be nurtured as a skill. This applies not only to the act of making merit, but to the act of making the path. Sometimes people see a clear distinction between making merit, which sounds like you're working to bring about your desires, and then the real practice, quote-unquote, we're not supposed to have desires at all. But that's a huge misunderstanding. The Buddha did say that we suffer from not wanting to die, but then he offered a path to the deathless. We suffer because we just want the desire itself not to die, to do all the work. So, of course, if you stop there, there's going to be suffering. But the Buddha discovered there is a path you can practice, a path that you can put together. You can construct virtue, concentration, discernment. And like a bridge that takes you across a river, or a road that takes you to a mountain. You don't build the other side of the river, you don't build the mountain, but you can build the way to get there. We talked the other day about Buddhist engineering. And it's good to think about the Buddha as an engineer. Engineering is not like the other sciences where they start with first principles. Engineering starts with problems. You have a problem, and you have to decide how it can be solved. And in the course of that, you may be drawing on the first principles of other fields like physics or chemistry. But there's never the question as to whether those first principles allow you to manipulate them. Or in other words, engineers assume that you can manipulate them. The question is, can it be done in such a way that you can solve the problem you have? And two, is it worth it? That's the kind of science we're dealing with here. The Buddha discovered that, yes, the causes of life, your actions, can lead to the deathless, and it's eminently worthwhile. You can train your intentions so that they're virtuous and generous. And then you can train them further so that they develop a good, strong state of concentration. And again, concentration is something you make. And John Lee's analysis is really helpful here. Of the five factors of the first jhana, three of them are causes and two of them are results. The causes are the things you do, direct a thought. You direct your thoughts to the breath. Keep them directed to the breath. If those thoughts wander away, you can bring them back and direct them at the breath again. And then you evaluate the breath. You evaluate the mind. Do they fit together well? What way of breathing would be a good place to stay? Because when we're trying to develop a state of concentration, you want something pleasant to stay with. Something all around good. So you feel really stable, solid here. So a way of breathing would do that. Think of the breath, notice the air coming in and out through the nose. Because that's pretty hard to get really comfortable. But if you think of it as the energy flow through the body and you get sensitive to that, that's something that can be adjusted in lots of ways. What way of adjusting it right now would feel best. Remember not to push the breath and not to force the breath. You're allowing the breath to flow through the body. So that when you breathe in, there's no blockages in the torso, in your arms, in your legs, in your head. And then you stay with this one topic. Those are the causes. Those are the things you do. The pleasure and the rapture that come. Those are the results. You don't do pleasure. You don't do rapture. They're talking about because you're doing the direct thought, the evaluation, and you're single-minded in doing this. The same with developing discernment. It doesn't just happen. You have to want it to happen. You have to want to go beyond concentration. See that no matter how good concentration gets, it's still fabricated. And things that are fabricated are going to fall apart. If you just spend all your time on the road, on the bridge, never get to the mountain, never get to the other side of the river, there will come a point where the road begins to wear down, the bridge begins to fall apart. You've got to get over. I've been looking at the different things the Buddha said are necessary for gaining awakening. That principle of practicing the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma is an important one. It's not just a matter of following what the Buddha had to say. It's wanting to take it all the way to the attainment of disenchantment, dispassion, cessation, release. You have to start asking the questions that will take you there. So the desire underlies the whole path. We have to be frank about that. There's the desire to put it into suffering and a desire to follow whatever steps are needed. And like a good engineer, once you decide that the desire is something that's attainable and it's worthwhile, then you stick with that desire. Take it all the way. There are people who say, well, you have to learn not to have any desires, not to want things to be different from what they are. What they are right now is that you're not awakened. You haven't found the deathless. The deathless is attainable and it can be found. The path there is something you can make. You can be a good road engineer, like the Buddha, found the road to Nirvana. Tells us how we can build our roads to Nirvana. Once you get there, then you don't need the desire anymore. You put it aside. But you don't just accept things as they are. You accept the things as they function so that you can manipulate them. And you stick with that assumption that you can manipulate them. You do have freedom of choice in these matters. That's how we get across. That's how we get to the mountain. Then you can put the desire aside. Then you can stop making. But in the meanwhile, hold on. And realize that this is not a selfish thing. Just as making merit is not necessarily selfish, you can dedicate it to others. When you follow the path and gain the results, you can share your knowledge with others. You can show them, yes, it still is possible. This is not a made-up fairy tale about 2,600 years ago. This is a reality. That's the same for everybody, no matter where, no matter when, no matter what culture you come from. That can be your gift to the world.